from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to From Scratch Podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we are looking at the thoughts of 52,000 people at work. The PwC, as was earlier last year, I think it was May last year that it was published, but it's just for some reason we found it this week. So we thought, actually, this looks quite interesting. They surveyed just over 52,000 people at work across 44 countries, and they have called the research report PwC's Global Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2022. So we were drawn to the fact it was 50,000 plus people, and it's the workplace or experience of work currently. So Nigel, what did you think about this?
Well, there's nothing massively revelatory about the report, but there's a lot of confirmation of what we suspected. Can I say one other thing I liked about the report is the balance of age? It's not all focused on 18 to 25 year olds. They're 27%. Then people 26 to 41, 23%, 42 to 57, 15%, and then those over 58 and over 9%. So it's a nice balanced sample of the workforce. So you can't kind of palm it off and say, oh, well, it's a hysterical group of young people or a miserable, grouchy group of older people. And what it shows, what really interested me, is that there is still a massive discrepancy between the way women feel they're treated in the workplace and the way men feel they're treated, particularly with regards to pay and conditions, that they feel that they have a harder time of it than their men folk do. The second thing is that what makes people likely to resign is significantly to do with finding their job fulfilling, can be their true self at work, much more dramatic than being fairly rewarded financially. And there are other things like being listened to by their manager and their team cares about them. So those factors are dramatic in creating a group likely to resign, or creating a group, if the obverse is true, unlikely to resign. And to me, none of that stuff is impossible to deal with. And many companies just seem to me to be sticking their heads in the sand and ignoring what's staring them in the face. So that fascinated me. And as I said before, women far less likely to be satisfied about pay. And then when you look at where people are, what drives them on the scale, being fairly financially remunerated was much stronger than being highly financially remunerated. Otherwise, people match themselves at their peers, and the resentment is of inequality, unfair treatment, not the actual quantum. And the second thing is that they all, or large numbers, want hybrid working, and their expectation of employers is that they think they will deliver that for them. The real trauma is those that expect their employer to require full-time in-person working. 18% of people felt their employer required that, but only 11% would prefer that. So there's a massive, that, you know, it just adds fuel to the fire that employees and employers in alignment really need to get their act together on hybrid working. Yeah. And also to make sure that those working remotely are treated fairly in terms of development, promotion, all those other things, where there's some evidence that if you work remotely, you're kind of overlooked and ignored. So they were my takes on it. And you've probably got more interesting examples, Martin. So what do you think?
I'm not so sure that I do, Nigel. I thought they were interesting takes on it. And I think the only the couple of things I would say on top of that is you listed those factors that would cause people to leave, right? And also cause them to be happy in their job, as you said, like the obverse. So that, and if we look at those, they are finding their job fulfilling, feel they can be their true self at work, as you said, feel fairly rewarded financially, feel their team cares about them, feel their manager listens to them. I thought what was quite interesting about that is these are all human challenges. This is a manager thing. This is not a technology thing necessarily. It's, you know, I think that's just quite interesting right now where we are in 2022, 2023, that we basically, this human need for feeling, you know, fairly treated and that the job is interesting and fulfilling. I think these are quite basic needs, really. But I think it's worth stating, and that's what the research says. Another point I thought was quite interesting, you did touch on it, was the development opportunities, making them equitable for office and hybrid workers. So of the hybrid workers, 2/3 of them are concerned about missing out on development opportunities. It might be that they might also, the report suggested, they might be younger workers. So it's, again, the report is saying from a management perspective, you know, opportunities have to be divvied out on an equitable basis for that entire team, wherever they are. And I think that is something that has cropped up as a result of the pandemic, that idea of, well, who has access to what exactly? And just because you're in one place where the person that might be responsible for giving you some development, you know, if you're in the same place as them, then you'll get it, or you've got a higher chance of getting it if you're working remotely. I think that sort of stuff has to just come to an end, you know, as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got to get back.
And I think the final one was,
I was going to say, we've just got to get back to a sense of normal working, which includes hybrid, and not that this is somehow special, different, impossible to deal with. All the kind of drama around it has to just go. It has to become the new normal. Sorry, Martin.
Yeah. And my final point was I thought was quite interesting, was this idea of helping younger workers who started during the pandemic. You know, they have just had a lot of less in-person experience of the workplace and the work, you know, and of colleagues. You know, so they might be more of a flight risk, because if their remote working experience goes only so far, then it might just be that they need more than that. They need some more care and attention, because they haven't really had much interaction, you know, in person, which I think is absolutely what humans need. Well, so yeah,
100%.
I think they were my three things. I thought it's interesting. I think it's an interesting one to hold up against, you know, your organization, and just think about, well, what is the work experience like currently here, and how could we improve it?
Yes. Two other little things that I noticed. The first one was this point they make that workers with scarce skills feel more empowered and much more satisfied with their job. Workers with specialist skills also feel more empowered and more satisfied with their job. So there's some issue there. You know, if you're generic, try to become more specialist. Try to have something that the employer really values and wants, and you get treated better. And the other thing was all this talk of new tech skills. What concerns more people is not their role will be taken over by technology, but that their employer won't give them the right skills to cope with new technology. So in some ways, the balance of fear is on their employer, not on the technology itself. And again, this is fixable. These things are fixable. So there's a big agenda there. If I were an HR director, I'd be looking at all of that stuff and saying, right, okay, there's an agenda running here. We should address these things before they come back to bite us. Sadly, I don't think enough are looking and addressing these issues, because otherwise there wouldn't be so many people looking for jobs or working very half-heartedly. So it's a good report. It's worth having a read. And it's, as always, Martin, everything we pick on is totally free. Global Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2022 by PwC. It's on their website. Thank you, Martin. Thanks for introducing that.
From scratch.